Hello everybody and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Chit Chat Cafe. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe, Lisa, Dee, and Betty Ann.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe After Dark. If you didn't hear us for the first hour, we have two new co-hosts joining the cast. I guess we're a cast, ensemble, whatever we are. I'd like to introduce them. Betty Ann, everybody knows her. She's been our correspondent for, what, the last year or so?
And yeah, for a while.
Yeah. And then we have Dee. Dee, welcome.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here, having so much fun tonight.
Two very lovely ladies that you're going to have a lot of fun with. I guarantee they're going to make you laugh, and they're going to inform you, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. So tonight we have some really interesting guests. Our first guest is going to be Cyr Trudon, Candles, and then Ellen Surratt, who is a hand model. So Betty Ann, do you want to give us a little update on the reality shows tonight? Or what?
Yeah.
What's going on in the reality world? You're a queen here.
I know. I have, my addiction is reality shows. Many. I just love them. I'm always watching something. But yesterday, I just happened to catch, as I was cooking, no less, in the kitchen, something that was on TLC channel, and it's called My Strange Addiction.
Uh-oh.
And
I've seen that show.
Yes, and well, I'm not going to get into any of the really awful addictions because they're unpleasant and kind of gross, but this particular one has to do with toilet paper.
Okay, so,
I'm curious.
Come on, tell us that one. Come on,
I'm curious. You can't leave us hanging there. Come on. Come on.
Well, this particular one has to do with a girl who eats toilet paper.
Oh, come on.
I kid you not. Because she likes it. And she carries
clean
a roll in her handbag.
Clean or dirty?
No. It's clean toilet paper. It's clean.
No, wait. So she carries the roll of toilet paper in her
handbag. Carries a roll in her handbag, and she usually eats about a half a roll of bulky 2-ply a day.
Does she consider it her fiber intake? I'm not sure.
No,
where
it's
going
just
with
it. No, she just likes it. She likes to eat toilet paper, and she keeps
it 2-ply or single ply.
It's 2-ply.
Charmin, okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Really? A particular brand that she likes.
Is it Charmin?
It could. It doesn't matter what brand it is. Well, she wasn't brand specific, but the one thing that she doesn't want is any toilet paper that's not white. It has to be white. It can't have colors. You know how you can purchase toilet paper that's like to match your bathroom. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she loves toilet paper, so
But that's sexy for a boyfriend.
They never got into how it happened, but she just, you know, she had a roll in her glove box in her car, so she does, and she eats it while she drives. When she goes to the movie, she'll eat it in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
She just loves toilet paper. And she said
date,
that...
On a date? I bet that's a turn-on.
Just whip out the roll of toilet paper and...
I don't know if she's got that many dates.
Can you imagine your date asking, where would you like to go to dinner and what do you usually eat? And you say, never mind, I packed a picnic. You know? It's like...
Yeah. I know. It's just...
I'd like to say, what happens if he's really boring? The scene would look very funny.
It's so fun. I mean, it's supposed to be, a serious show. But that didn't, And some of the addictions seem to be quite serious, but really they're bizarre.
Yeah, they do have some. They do have some, actually, Betty Ann, that they say, you know, they do it for health reasons. They find that it, you know, it's curing some type of illness. Now, but the one,
yeah,
but
mental.
Now, come on. You know,
well, not
girl,
the toilet but, paper.
No,
what,
no.
What she did say is that she just loves to eat the white, the plain white toilet paper. She loves the way she breaks off little pieces, and she loves to lay it on her tongue.
Oh.
I don't know. That's what she said.
I'd imagine it.
I'd
love to know what our listeners, you know, what their, like, secret addictions are.
Mine's
That's
Facebook.
True.
You girls have
Wait,
any addictions? Mine's Facebook.
Yours is Facebook?
And pinning. What are your guys' addictions?
I don't know. Bottle of red.
My secret addictions usually deal with candy or cookies. There's nothing...
I love
you
nothing
know,
better than just end the day with a lovely glass of wine and
that's a great addiction.
It really is an addiction because then I just jump on Facebook or, you know, wherever you girls
mm-hmm.
are to see what your day's going on with. And I guess that would be my addiction, combining the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's a good thing, though.
That and a little toilet paper.
Well, there is one lady, and I'm not going to get into the whole story, that drinks urine.
Oh,
so
come on. No.
I swear,
Ew.
Yes, that
it's
one is
true.
A gross
That's
addiction.
The one I
but I think
mm-hmm.
that she might be friends with the lady that eats the toilet paper.
Okay, all right. Fear factor. Would you girls rather eat toilet paper or drink urine? I think I'm going for the toilet paper.
Oh, I'd eat the toilet paper.
Day,
for sure.
Let's not play truth or dare and have the toilet paper in front of us because, you know, it's, I can't even imagine. Oh, the things these girls talk about.
Mm. Talk is chic. We're the chic.
You know what?
Talk is chic.
But it's
talk
true.
Is chic.
It's what's trending. It's what's going on. And and it drives an audience. People actually tune
That's right.
in to watch these things because... You know, it's intriguing. It
it's
really
like a train
is
wreck.
Oh, yeah. I think that's why I love the reality shows, because really, it wouldn't be fun to watch if they weren't really all train wrecks in some way. Because no one's really nice on any of those shows. It's all about drama and conflict.
I
know,
but you know, the television viewers, they love it. It keeps us tuning in night after
oh,
night.
Oh, they
week
love
after
it.
After week. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
right.
It really
That's
does.
That's right.
Oh, too funny. Too funny.
Yes.
You have a great
Well, time. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guests who are patiently waiting and listening to our toilet paper story.
even chimed in.
Yes.
He must watch the
Sorry
show.
About that.
Yes.
No, we love
I'd like...
that. Are you kidding me? Love this.
I'd like to introduce Kim and Anthony, and they are here representing Sir Trudon Candles. They are the oldest and most prestigious wax manufacturer in the world, and they are sold in the finest stores around the world. Welcome, Kim and Anthony.
Thank you so much for having us. When you started to say that your addiction was candy, I thought you were going to say candles.
Mm. I do love candles.
Actually, you know what? She hit it. That is my addiction. I love candles, and I love their candles. They're exquisite.
Oh, they're so beautiful, and they smell so good. They're so fantastic. Tell us about the history of Sir Trudon Candles.
Before we get into the history for a second, can you ladies tell me where you first smelt the candles and how you came to appreciate Sir Trudon Candles?
I believe I
well,
was in Barney's.
Barney's.
Sold in Barney's, right?
Yeah, it's sold in every single Barney's store and Barney's.com.
Yeah, I was in Barney's, and I was browsing around the gift area, and I came across your candles, and I'm like, got to have them on the show. Fabulous.
Thank you.
Okay.
And which was your favorite out of all of the 18 scents you smelled?
For me, I have to admit, I love the one that's called Spiritus.
Sancti.
I absolutely love the Moroccan mint tea.
Yes, Abelkader.
That is gorgeous.
So,
thank you so much for that, ladies. Those are two very, very great scents that are quite the winners out there, actually. They are, I'll let my wife explain a little more, but they are definitely scents that people are somewhat addicted to.
Yeah.
Maybe not toilet paper, but addicted to, definitely.
Maybe that should be the next scent in the line. There are 18 candles in the range right now. We actually fell in love with this brand way before we came to work with the brand. I think one of the reasons is, first of all, it's the history is so rich, and the candles themselves, in addition to being very striking looking, the scents are actually created by master perfumers in Grasse. And they're very sophisticated fragrances created in the same way that fine perfumes are made. And so there's a layering of very complex notes. And so you never actually get bored of a scent because you're always going to smell a different dimension of it. A different ingredient will show itself to you, you know. After you smell the first few, all of a sudden you start to realize the nuance of all of the others.
Well, let's start at the very beginning. The scents are definitely what attracts you to the candles, and we all attract it to scents. But you've got to understand that candles have been made for an awfully long time. Before Thomas Edison came along, candles were the way of light. And there was this man called Claude Trudon back in 1643, that he didn't set out to make candles. He actually bought a store back in France just before Louis XIV came into power. And he had candles that were sold in his store, and his candles were awfully stinky and made of animal byproducts, which was kind of black and not when it burned.
Well, back in the 1600s, the only places he could find candles, the biggest countries that made candles were in Asia. So there were a lot of candles from China and from India, and he had to import them. And generally they were made using animal fat, but, you know, all sorts of other animal byproducts would be just thrown into the cauldron and stirred around in there too. So, I mean, you had hooves and very nice, like that. So Claude Trudon was just unhappy with what he was able to offer his customers in his little humble dry goods store. So he literally set out to make a better product. And believe it or not, he was one of the first people to be able to perfect the making of the beeswax candle. And that's how Trudon really built its name, because beeswax burned just so much more cleanly and smelled so much better than animal fat.
So coming to back to why Trudon perfected beeswax candles, and the first scent, well, not scent, the first candle they created really was for the churches of Europe. So when you say Spiritus Sancti is one of your favorite scents, it's actually one of the oldest scents in the creation of Sierra Trudon, because they supplied
all the great cathedrals. And
I was going to ask you that, and I just want to quickly mention something that we were sent a nice gift from your company, and in it were little tins of samples of wax with the different fragrances. And I smelled them all, and I smelled the Spiritus Sancti. And it was right around Easter time, and I had my family over for Easter dinner, and I brought out the scents, and I said, and what does this smell like? And everyone said it smells like church.
Yeah, it's the smell of church candles and church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so speaking on off the cup of my hand, just what you're talking about, toilet paper earlier. So when people fancy, they either fall in love with it or they throw their head back and go, oh my God, that is the Catholic Church?
Well, yeah. You know right away who's an ex-Catholic if they wrinkle their nose when they smell that candle.
I have to say, this is Dee coming in, and I have to say, though, but that's one of the most, I think, intriguing scents, because when you think about that and the incense and the mystery that comes behind the fragrance, it's amazing, and it's so deep and heady.
Yeah, I like to, because there are so many scents in the range, there are 18 scents, so when I talk about Trudon, I usually break up the collection into what I call the three R's, and the first R is definitely religion, because that is how Trudon built its name, because who burns more candles than churches, right? But pretty soon after he perfected the beeswax candle and all the churches started to burn them, the Trudon reputation spread quickly to Versailles. And the second R, I would attribute to royalty, because suddenly, you know, the king and his court wanted to know what all of the hoopla was about, and they summoned Trudon to the castle to show them his wares. And actually, on the crest that's affixed to all of our candles, at the base of the crest, we have the date 1643 stamped on there. And that is because we know for sure Trudon was around by then, because that was the year that Louis XIV came to power in France. And he was such a huge fan of Trudon candles that he not only commissioned a whole book about the art of candle making to be written about Trudon. It was like a 90-page tome, and you know, you could literally say that Trudon wrote the book on candle making, because it was the Trudon method that was laid out in this encyclopedic tome. But aside from that, he actually gave the company his royal seal, which is actually still on our crest and on our boxes today. And the privilege that comes from being the royal manufacturer in France is, aside from making our classic candles in the handmade glass vessels that we have today, we also make pillar candles and taper candles, and one of the things we're most famous for is actually being able to replicate very famous French statues and busts in wax. You know how you go to the library and you check out a book for 2 weeks?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Trudon,
yeah,
was able to go to the National Archive in France and check out a famous bust for a period of time, so that they could make a mold out of it and make a wax replica of it, and they're the only people allowed to do that. So we have one of Marie Antoinette, one of Napoleon, some very famous busts. So the second R is royalty, because, of course, the Sun King, the Roi Soleil himself, became a big fan, and today we have a candle called Solus Rex, which is actually an homage to Louis XIV and to the Versailles castle. And Versailles is very famous for the Hall of Mirrors, where you have these beautiful crystal chandeliers hanging. But the other thing they're very famous for is actually the wood parquet floors throughout the chateau. And the scent Solus Rex is actually the scent of the woodworks of Versailles. And it's also one of our best sellers, because everybody wants their house to smell like Versailles.
Yeah. I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. So when a nose goes in, a nose is someone that creator perfume. He or she has to go live in a particular environment for a particular moment and experience a whole environment to create the scent. So this particular nose went to Versailles with the Hall of Mirrors and pretty much actually lay down on the floor with their notebook and smelt the floor, this floor that had existed for 400 or 500 years. And this floor, you got to understand, has been through numerous different types of balls, parties, entertainment. So this floor has history to it. And he or she was actually able to create this particular scent. Because after every party, you had the people come and wax it with beeswax to clean the floor. So layers and layers and layers of history is actually in this one scent.
Today the candles are actually no longer made of beeswax. All of the candles in the range today are made out of a proprietary pure vegetal wax blend. And that is because today's luxury customer is really after a perfumed product, a scented candle. And perfume oils actually don't work well with beeswax because beeswax, as you know, has its own natural odor and it fights too much with the perfume oil. So we went to an even cleaner wax base, which is the vegetal wax, and it even burns cleaner and longer than beeswax. And, you know, that's one of the beauties of working for a company that is singularly focused on perfecting a craft. For about 400 years now, Trudon has done nothing but make candles. So, you know, they do make the best candles because that's what they do. And they could be at the forefront of every candle trend.
Sorry, ladies, we can speak forever on the history. Are there any questions you want to interrupt with? We can dominate this conversation for hours.
Now, Anthony, you know, I do have a question. This is also fascinating to me because I truly, not kidding around, I love candles. I love your candle. There are other products in the line. There are accessories, are there not?
Well, the only real product, aside from things made from wax, we have these gorgeous room sprays. They look like a beautiful bottle of perfume with the old-fashioned atomizer pumps on them. Mm-hmm. The reason we added room sprays to the collection is while we all adore wax, for a candle to really diffuse its scent in an average size room, it would take about 45 minutes to an hour. So if you are about to, you know, sit down and read a good book or have a nice glass of wine or a conversation with a friend, if you're entertaining, it's fantastic to light a candle. But let's say, you know, you're rushing home from work, you're running late, and company is on its way over. You don't have that luxury of a full hour to, you know, have the candle lit before the guests arrive. So room sprays are really a matter of achieving the same results quickly.
But not quite as romantic.
Well, if you ever hold one of our room sprays in your hand, you might think it is quite romantic because, believe it or not, every aspect of our products, from the candles to the room sprays, everything is handmade. The green glass that I've alluded to before, that is hand-poured for us. Every single candle and every single room spray, the glass is actually hand-poured into its mold by an artisan in Vinci, Italy. And they actually have to use a wooden dowel to depress the molten glass you know, at the center and have that glass rise up to the sides to create the shapes of either the bottle or the glass jar. And so if you take a very close look at each candle, if you set a few sirtradone candles alongside each other, you'll see that there's actually a variation even in the shade of green. We have quality control people who, you know, deem that within a certain range, it's okay. It can be considered a Trudon green, but some of them are more ambery green and some of them are brighter green than one another. And even though there is that difference, it's actually a hallmark of the brand that we're really proud of, because it actually lets you know that you are holding a purely handmade product. You know, it's not as if our glass came off a conveyor belt and, you know, somebody pressed a button and 10,000 of the exact same thing came spitting out.
No, your products are truly, truly the royal family of candles and the room sprays.
And I would like to add to that just a little bit. So the original question is, does Sirtradon make other additional items? And yes, Sirtradon makes so many different SKUs. We make different types of pillars, tapers. Remember that Sirtradon originally supplied the churches of Versailles. The churches and then the court of Versailles. So we have tapers, we have pillars in every imaginable size, color, shape. We've got tapers that are covered on the outside. We have tapers that are covered on the inside. We have centered tapers, pillars. So yes,
and unscented.
You got to understand that Sirtradon's artistry is in wax. So if there's anything that can be made in wax, Sirtradon can make it.
And they do. In the Paris store, they have thousands of different items. The U.S. is a newer market for the brand, and so we are slowly expanding the range, but we just started with the 18 classic candles. Yeah. Oh, and the room spray just won Allure Magazine's Best Room Spray of the Year, by the way.
Oh, hooray. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. I had talked about the first two R's of the brand, which was religion and royalty. The third R is actually, I think, what makes this line, even though it has such a rich history, it's what makes the line quite modern. There's actually a little nod, a little wink, a sense of humor to the line, and I think that's what makes it cool for today, and that's why it can live in a store like Barney's, which is so trendsetting, you know? And I call that third R revolutionary. And it's one of our best candles, which I don't know which one of you said was her favorite, but Abd El Kader, the Moroccan mint one, I would point to that one as one of the revolutionaries. Abd El Kader was an actual person. He was an Algerian freedom fighter who fought for Morocco's freedom from the French. He was a folk hero to the people of Morocco, and in the end, he actually lost to the French, but because he fought so valiantly, and he was such a man of the people, they actually dedicated a candle to him. And the other big revolutionary in our line, which is also one of our best sellers, is Ernesto. Did you guys smell that one?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Ernesto is actually named for Che Guevara, you know, the beret-wearing hero of Havana.
It smells like, I have to say, when I smelled that, it reminded me of a cologne similar to something my father wears.
Ah.
Kind of,
yes, it's macho in many ways.
Yeah.
It's a smell of fresh tobacco, and there are some bright citrus notes in there, but there's also mm-hmm. smell of leather and gunpowder.
Oh, gunpowder, okay.
Well, it was, you know, the Cuban Revolution. So.
Yes, very interesting. I love hearing all the history about these different fragrances. This is just such an amazing opportunity to learn about these fabulous candles. And we love having you on the show tonight. We're going to have to wrap it up because we're going a little bit over time. Would you please join us again sometime? Because there's so much information that we would love to know about your line of candles.
It would be our pleasure because, you know, we've touched on some of the macho guys, but there's some fabulous scents dedicated to wonderful women in history, too. So next time.
Yeah, ladies.
We would love to learn about them. Yes.
Yeah, ladies of Sex and the City back in the 1800s.
Oh, we have to hear about that. You definitely have to come back on. It was great. It was a great pleasure speaking with you both tonight. And, we would love to have you again. We have to say goodbye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining us.
Bye.
Thank
bye.
You, Lisa, bye. Betty Ann.
Bye, Kim.
Thank
bye,
you
Anthony.
So much.
Bye.
Well, we didn't get to hear about the Sex and the City ladies.
No, they're going to have to come back.
Okay.
You know what? It
yes.
was so interesting. I love candles.
Me too. Oh, especially in the wintertime when it gets dark early. I like the candles. Makes the house cozy and smells good.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So cozy. We have another great guest coming up. But before that, quickly, have you girls heard about BB Cream?
What is it?
BB Cream. It is the all-singing, all-dancing, total transformation cream for your complexion.
Will it get rid of my belly?
No, it's not going to do that. It's not going to do that. It actually was. In 2011, it became like one of the biggest beauty trends because it was actually developed in Asia, and BB Cream actually stands for Blemish Balm Cream. A blemish mm-hmm. balm base, but not for breakouts, because mm-hmm. It's to perfect the skin to look flawless. And I got to tell you, I am totally hooked on it. Totally, totally hooked on it. It evens out your complexion like a tinted moisturizer. It'll cover, you know, minor imperfections, redness like a concealer, but it also hydrates your skin like a day cream. So it perks up a dull complexion. And even some of them have an SPF. And I got to tell you, when you put that on and then a little bit of bronzer, your skin is perfect. Perfect. My favorite one I'm using right now is by Christian Dior. It's Dior Snow, and I love it. I'm gonna go buy some for both of you so you can try it.
Oh, I think the covers are
not. We're gonna do a slumber party with a girls' night, and I'm gonna do makeup.
Great.
Oh, okay.
I'm in.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you got to talk. It's natural-looking skin coverage, but it is perfect. And I got to tell you, other than trying to hide and lift and shove and push things into shape over here, I need something that's just going to help me, like, you know, pulling the shade down over my face over here.
You got a gorgeous face. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're perfect.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. It takes about 5 hours to get that perfect in the morning. So it's, no, all kidding aside, it is a great product. I mean, so I'm going to get samples for all of us, and then I think we have to have a little girls' night in, and we got to try all this fabulous stuff.
Sounds like a good idea.
Okay,
we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back with Ellen Surratt, who's a hand model. That should be cool to talk to her.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe After Dark on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. Lisa again. We have a really, really, really interesting guest. I've been dying to talk to her because I think her profession is like super cool. Her name is Ellen Surratt. I think I'm pronouncing it correct. I hope I am anyway. She is like the number one hand model, the supermodel of hands. You see her hands in all kinds of cool ads and just a really neat career to be in. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. I'm sending you a big, huge hand model wave.
How did you get to be a hand model? And tell us what special characteristics your hands have.
Well, my hands are flawless. they look, if you didn't know me, they look like they're about 18, and I'm probably, you know, at least double that. So I started as a dancer, and I was just looking for a way to really support my dance habit, and I started doing some commercial work, and it seemed like every time I tried to get some modeling work, I'd always get a body part. I'd get a leg, or I'd have like a stomach shot that I'd have to do or something like that, and I finally figured out there was a whole category called parts modeling, and so I got myself over to them, and they first sent me out for feet, which was crazy, and it turned out I had the perfect feet for modeling, which I had never thought of as a modern dancer.
What is the criteria to have beautiful feet? What size shoe are you?
Well, I'm a 7, which is good, like 6.5 to 7, but I really do bare feet, and that's all about your toes and having nice, toes that really articulate but lay in that nice sequential downward sweep, and nice long feet that aren't, you know, too wide or too bony or anything like that. So I started doing feet, which was very fun for me, but I realized that feet weren't really enough to completely support myself. And I saw that the girls who were working the most were the hand models. And I thought, I can really do that. And so I took care of my hands really diligently for a while, and I really became this hand detective to try to figure out how to remedy my own hands to make them picture perfect. And I finally went back to the agent, and she began to send me out. And hand modeling was really where it was like, you know, it was like a snap. It was a click for me, and it really worked because I had great hands, and I really knew how to work them because it was the same as dancing. It was really muscle memory and choreography and being graceful. And so that was like nearly 20 years ago, and I've had this long, wonderful career that I continue to do as a hand model. It's been fabulous.
Now, what can't you do because you're a hand model? You obviously don't clean.
I don't cook, I don't clean, I don't take out the garbage, I don't shop, I don't garden, don't vacuum.
I'm not the laundress either.
I really don't do anything, any of that stuff, because it's all sort of a danger for my hands. You don't want to put your hands into any situation where they could get hurt or you could break a nail, and you also don't want to do anything that bulks up, that adds muscle to your hands. So like scrubbing or, any kind of weight-bearing thing.
Yeah,
because really the photographic quality of a hand is really like just very even tone, and you don't want to see any bulges from the muscles or the veins or anything like that. So everything I do is really about my hands and about keeping them calm and beautiful and well-pampered and moisturized and well-cared for and fighting the, signs of age and fighting any environmental issues. And I wear gloves a lot when I'm outside, especially keeping my hands out of the sun as much as I can. And my whole life really revolves around my hand care, because not only is it about my hands, but then I began to see that really hands were really a problem for most people. You know, if you think about it, hands are really our fastest aging body part. You know, so many people feel great about, they know how to take care of their eyes, and we know how to color our hair and put highlights in and know what to do for our faces, but we forget about the hands, and the hands are so delicate. That skin is just as delicate as the skin around our eyes. And yet, with your hands, you have them in and out of water 30 times a day. You have them in the sun all day. You're doing everything. And so a lot of times, that very first sign of aging is when you look down at your hands.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, do you insure your hands, or your hands insured?
My hands are insured, yes. But still.
Take us through a day of hand modeling. Like, what exactly do you have to do?
Well, when I'm actually on a job, it's really crazy. I mean, my daily life is really being like ready for a hand 911, because I can get a call in the morning and have to be there an hour later. So my hands have to be perfect 24 hours a day. And that's really my biggest job as a hand model, to never forget that I have to take care of my hands. Because one little paper cut and I'm out of work, because there's 10 girls behind me who'd love to have that job who won't have a paper cut. So it's really about taking care of them to the very best of my ability every moment of the day, being ready. And then when I get called for a job, the jobs are usually crazy. I mean, I can be like hanging upside down and having to, you know, be over the director and under the camera and still, like, just placing the tomato quite perfectly on that pizza and, you know, making everything just look so beautiful and so natural. A lot of times I'm what is called, like, a hand-in. So they'll have the regular actress or model or celebrity, whoever, is going to be on the commercial. And then for the close-up, they bring me in. So I come in and just do the hand shots, just do the close-ups. Or it's a lot of times it's wiping or it's pulling or it's cutting or, you know, whatever the close-up has to be.
If you're being a hand model for a celebrity, do they get offended that they won't use their hands?
No, very rarely. I mean, people, when you ask anybody, you know, how do you feel about your hands, like 9 times out of 10 people say, I don't feel good about my hands. You know, they do the hidden hand thing. So I think people are relieved, actually, when I come in. And you know, I'm very friendly and give them hand tips and give them hand cream and, you know, like, do a whole, like, handover with them. And, you know, we have lots of fun. But I think they're relieved, generally, to see me come on set.
What a perfect hand. How do you prevent, like, veins from getting to making your hand
right
bulky? What can the person do to stop that?
Okay, well, there's a couple things to avoid veininess. The reason a lot of us are getting veininess is because, well, washing our hands, you know, you're washing your hands dozens of times every day, and the soaps that we use are generally very harsh, or else the antibacterials, you know, things with alcohol. So you really have to think about what you're putting on your hands through the day, because what happens with that continuous washing is really the skin is getting washed away, you know, very, very slowly. You're just grating down that skin, and that's when, as the skin gets thinner, the veins become bulkier. So that's one thing to really think about. Other things that bulk up the veins are like aerobic exercise, you know, things where you're running around. So, you know, you might notice before you go for a run or before you exercise, you're not so veiny, and then afterwards you become more veiny. Also salty food, things like that. So, you know, the number one thing is thinking about what you're putting on your hands when you're washing them, and also how you're drying your hands. You don't want to just rub your hands vigorously, because that's also just diminishing your skin tone continuously. You want to pat very, very gently, and then re-moisturize. Put some, you know, whatever your hand product is, put it right back onto that skin when the skin is still moist so that you're rehydrating, because every time you wash your hands, it's dehydrating your hands. And then, you know, on those few times when it's like that moment when you want your hands to look really good and you just want to think of that hand model that's within all of us, you put your hands over your head, and that makes the blood go down. And so if you're very veiny, that, you know, will temporarily bring down the veins, drain the blood out, and then your hands will, you know, look their very best for that special picture, special moment.
Now tell us, you have a hair care line, a hand care line.
Oh, yeah, hand perfection. So I, you know, as I was getting into my 40s, I began to see the signs of aging on my hands, and I really, you know, thought, okay, well, this is drastic, and I really need to do something about this, because I want to be hand modeling till I'm 70. So I began to really look around for some products that could really help my hands, and I really saw that there was a lack of anti-aging advanced skincare for hands. You know, we have it for the face, we have it for the eyes, we have it for the neck, but really not for the hands in that same way that's using really the best technology that we know to fight the signs of aging. And so what I was doing in my kitchen was I was taking things that were made for the eyes, and I was mixing it with the different oils that would absorb well into the skin of my hands, and it was, you know, I was becoming my own cosmetologist, and, you know, right here. So finally I thought, well, this is crazy. You know, why is it that I am able to keep my hands looking young from all this, you know, all these products that I'm mixing and matching and putting together, but everyone else that I'm seeing, their hands are really aging, and I just felt like there's not the information and there's not the products out there that people need, and this is an across-the-board problem. So finally, I thought, you know what, the time is now, and I have just got to do this, because I feel like hands are something that mean a lot to us. You know, they're a visual, and we look at them so many times a day that we don't want to look down and see grandma's hands. We want to look down and see hands that are appropriate to our age. And also, they're a physical. Like, you have intimate physical contact with people with your hands every single day. And so it's so important to have hands that look good and feel good. So I began to work with chemists and product developers, and I created this whole anti-aging hand care line, and it's been a huge journey for me, but really a passionate journey, and one that I feel really strongly about, that this is a very quick, easy thing that anyone can do that can really help them feel good about themselves and just help, you know, help yourself just have that much better of a day by really, like, you know, being able to shake hands and feel confident in that, because it says so much about yourself.
Ellen, hi, this is Betty Ann, and I wanted to ask you, I know that you kind of fell into the field of hand modeling. If somebody wants to be a hand model, how do they go about it?
Yeah, well, what they need to do is really take a good look at their hands, and you know, I'm beginning to help people. It seems like so many people are having these questions that I'm sort of putting together a whole program to really help nurture people who feel that they want to do this. So the very first thing is they really have to take a look at their hands, or, you know, they have to make sure that they really have the skin tone. It's the skin tone and the nails that we're looking for. So you want even, it can have any color skin tone, but within the color range, you want to have really even skin tone. So no mars, no flaws, no scars, you know, nothing that's going to take the eye away. Because you have to remember, hand modeling is not just a beautiful hand. It's a beautiful hand, but it's a hand that's showing a product. So you don't want the hand to have the attention. You want the product to have the attention. So the hand has to be almost neutral. And then you need nails that are really clear and strong so that you can wear, you can be out there with no polish. You have to have the pinks very pink and the white very white, and a nail that can really stand on its own without any polish or acrylics or anything else, because a lot of times you're asked just to have a bare naked nail. And then you sort of have to have the personality for it. You know, you have to be willing to really be able to take all the risks out of your life that might affect your hands. And you have to have the calmness about you, because you have to be ready to go at any moment. You have to be able to be on a set and then be like nerves of steel, because when you have those six cameras rolling and 100 people standing around and you have to just put that cherry just so on a cupcake, you really have to be able to perform. So, you know, it's sort of all those things together and just the real, the desire to really want to do that and to feel that you really can take care of your hands that way. And that's a good place to start. And then you have to get pictures taken, and, you know, you have to make sure that you're in an area that will support you. You know, you have to be in one of the major cities that really has an industry that's viable to be able to make a living from it.
So if somebody has good hands, I mean, hands that... Sometimes somebody might think they have good hands, but say someone is always being complimented for their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about me, because my hands look like claws. I got everything that you don't want to have. For years, I worked as a court reporter, so, I mean, my hands have muscles and veins and all kinds of stuff. But if somebody's always being complimented for their hands, you know, when they get a manicure, they go, oh, you have the perfect fingers, you have the perfect nails. What would be good advice for them? Should they have their hands photographed and then send it off to different modeling agencies, and perhaps they'll get a call about their hands?
They can do that. They can certainly contact me through my website, ellensurratt.com, and I've been giving a lot of people advice about this and sort of beginning to mentor the next generation of hand models. But really what they need to do is take the very best care of their hands that they can for a while, like really dedicate themselves. Say, for 3 months, I'm really going to take very good care. And that means really getting great hand products. Of course, I recommend mine, Hand Perfection. You know, something really good that's going to protect you from the elements, and that's going to really help aid to really moisturize your hands to the most that they can, and really reverse any signs of aging, help really, you know, with cell regeneration overnight, things that are really going to plump the skin and really make the skin look its very, very best. And then really concentrate also on the nails and cuticles. You want to hydrate your cuticles. You want to strengthen your nails and make sure they're moisturized, because a dry, brittle nail is just one that's going to break. You don't want the cuticles to be flaky or, you know, you know, having the little flyaway cuticles. So you hydrate them with oil, and you have to gently push back your cuticles because you want the cuticles to frame the nail and not to grow on the nail. And you also don't want to have to use the nipper. So that's very important to moisturize your cuticles, to gently push them back every single day. And so, you know, you sort of have this whole hand care routine that you want to do for a few months before you even take the pictures to really make sure you get your hands to the utmost place that they can be. And then you want to start looking at your own hands in a mirror and seeing in what angles your hands look best and how to make them look graceful. And think about the gestures you do and how to articulate them. And really you have to be able to act through your hands and convey emotion and convey a person and a place and a thing. Just like regular acting or regular modeling, you have to do the same thing but in a micro unit right on your hand. And so then, you know, just take some time to really dedicate yourself sort of to the training and to the technique behind it. And then you could get photos taken. And then, yeah, then you have to find an agent in your area that represent parts models. And you'd submit the pictures.
That's great. Well, thanks for that advice. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are really interested in that and in just hearing all about the world of hand modeling and about your fabulous products. I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. We really enjoyed speaking with you, and we'd like to have you back again sometime.
I would love to come back and talk hands.
So thank you so much. Have a great night.
Great. Nice speaking to you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Sure, nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that would be a fun job.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine?
See, if we had known about this years ago, we could have kept our hands perfect and possibly been a hand model.
I would have never done a dish. I would have never washed the floor, had I known.
That's right.
How do you even get to that point? I can't even imagine.
I think you're just born with naturally perfect hands. It's got to be.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And then you're told they're perfect, and then you realize that they can become your living. And so you do everything in your power to protect them and keep them beautiful.
You know what, though? Not making light of a situation, if you really think about it, though. She has to be so very careful because it is her livelihood.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the things that we take for granted, like, you know, going outside and, you know, if we're just going to plant a flower or pick something up, you know, that dropped on the floor, you have to watch your nails, not eat. I mean, she really does have to be careful. It is a very precious commodity for her.
That's right. She probably wears gloves a lot. I mean, even opening an envelope, you can get a paper cut.
Exactly.
I mean, there's danger everywhere.
There's just danger everywhere. It is, but, you know, like I said, you don't realize that all the commercials that we see in our magazines, on television, that's Ellen's job.
I'd still like to have that job.
Yeah, me too.
I can't have that job.
And then you could use it. I can't cook because I could hurt my hands. I can't do the dishes. Now, I mean, there's
I
so many things that you wouldn't be able to do.
Clean your room. I know.
I can't do the laundry. I'm sorry.
We just go like this. Oh, no, darling. I'm sorry. I can't. And I would walk around literally like a surgeon going into the operating room.
That's right.
That's exactly what I want her life. I just want her life.
I know.
I now found my secret obsession.
Yes.
And you have an excuse. You know, I'd have to stop cutting bagels because that's when I get cut.
Oh.
I'm gonna have to stop cutting the
lemons and the limes for the mojitos. I don't know what to do there.
Oh boy, that's a tough one. Yeah.
You know what? Then forget it. I can't take the job.
You'd have to hire someone to come in to do the cutting of the lemons and the limes.
That's true.
I have to get manicure. I mean, I get professional manicures. Like I have to have nail tips because I keep them short, but I still need tips because my hands would look like toes if I didn't. My nails don't grow, they look horrible.
You know, speaking of that, I did everything. I tried everything she said while she was on air. My hands were up over my head, and then I noticed my toes, and it all went downhill from there.
Wait a minute. What did she say? I can't remember what she said about so they don't look veiny. You have to hold them up over your head?
Yeah. I spent the whole time putting my hands up over, and then I don't know what happened. The blood rushed to my head. I felt faint. I don't know.
Well, girls, it's this has been a pleasure tonight. It's 11 o'clock, so we have to wrap. But I think we had a great time for our first show. What do you think?
We had a great time. You know what? It was so wonderful sitting here talking with you girls. And I know, Lisa, you have a very special guy in your house that once we get off the air, you're going to run and go give a great big hug and kiss to.
Well, I would, but he's already out with his friends, okay?
He left you all.
Oh. Okay. He's gone. He's gone. My son
who,
just got home from Spain today.
Who
he was studying
that?
Abroad
who's
for 4 months.
From your house?
wait, you're going to die. Let me just tell you this real quick. I know we have to get off the air. But all I was planning for the last month was his homecoming for when he walked through the immigration door. They have that big, long runway at the Philadelphia airport. You walk down, you see the people coming out with their suitcases, and you greet them. Mm-hmm. So we had flowers. We had balloons. We had a Joe sign. You know, my husband cut out styrofoam, J-O-E. And we had it backwards when he came out. But his flight gets in a half hour early. His flight comes in a half hour early.
Oh, no.
I said, you can't come out. You can't come out till we get there. I made him wait in customs. I said, don't you come out of that door till we get there. He sat there and waited. He had to wait for 15 minutes. We couldn't find a parking spot. I called him as we were outside. I said, okay, now you can come out. So I can take your picture when you're coming out of the doors.
Only you would have a rehearsal run for the coming home of your son.
Absolutely.
Only you. Oh, we're so glad he's home, safe and sound.
Yeah. Well,
good to have him home.
Yeah. You can stop hearing me whine about him on Facebook now. Anyway, everybody, this has been a pleasure. I hope everybody has a great weekend. And I love my two co-hosts. We're going to have so much fun. So good night, everybody. Good night, girls.
Good night.
And
good night.
Next week.
So good night, Betty Ann. Good night to our listeners.
Yep.
You know what? We had a blast.
Yep.
We had a
good
blast.
Night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.